You are listening to Mark Hatmaker Rough and Tumble Raconteur. This is a grab bag of old school Western martial arts, resurrected indigenous ways and empirical musings tinged with a heavy dose of respect, admiration, let's call it hero worship, for these hosses of yore. Hey crew, this is Mark Hatmaker coming to you from the Comancheria. Today, let's talk a bit of old school conditioning. This is the sexy secret we're going to talk about is when you want to lose some body fat, actually, you don't want to train more. So actually, this came across one of our print articles. It was unleaded conditioning tip number 15 of 75, unleaded being our old school conditioning programs that we use, built on the early days of the combination men, what they used to get ready for boxing, wrestling, and the early physical culturist, way before anabolic steroids, hell, even creatine. All right, now, this tip number 15, and basically the law comes down to this. When you want to lose fat, you want to move more, but don't train more. We're going to have to split theirs because I know that sounds like a bit of a paradox there. At the very least, is Zen koan that is more intended to confound than impart wisdom, right? But again, we want to lose body fat. Got to move more. Don't train more. But I assure you this statement is truth. Let's move on. It's a verified scientific fact. And it was one known by old school boxers, wrestlers, combination men, rough and tumblers of yore. Now, little ado was made of so-called cardio in the 18th and 19th century thought, and yet we wind up with staggering feats of endurance in treacherous environments with little, if any, dedicated training. I mean, like Lewis and Clark, it's not like they were going to the box gym and, putting in the great Fran times or whatever, making sure they're going to CrossFit, P90X, if that is still a thing, and then heading out there and hitting the trail. It just didn't happen. We would see in the early days, whenever we started seeing the advent of photography, we would see enviable lean and mean physiques in early physical culturists decades before the advent of anabolic helpers. Hell, not even a scoop of creatine in sight. Often the assumption is that these early hellions simply trained harder and harder and longer, but the record doesn't necessarily bear that out. A careful examination of these feats of in-the-field endurance, actually out on the frontiers, or these designated gym strength training we're seeing was all without the bias of, if we look at these without the bias of our 21st century hindsight, that where we attempt to explain what was through the lens of what we know now, reveals a tale that is in stark contrast to how we train for strength and leanness and fat loss. See, our current formula is this. We, the 21st century athlete with all the benefits of science and hitting the internet and knowing every damn thing in the universe, we wish to get stronger, faster, and lose body fat, right? So what do? We put gym time. We put it in, often copious time with hard CrossFit-style sessions, or at the very least, we redline our training. And if the mirror or reflection or the needle on the scale does not provide us with what we want, the prescription is to double down on our effort, our time, and our intensity. And yet, often that mirror and scale still, even after that doubling down, doesn't quite deliver what we'd like considering the effort put in. So what's going on? Well, we'll get to that. But first, here's the old school formula. So if we were an old school athlete, boxer, wrestler, combination fighter, Apache scout, and we wish to be stronger, faster, leaner, and meaner, so they would engage in short duration, intense efforts, and then stop. They go live life. They go do what they do. That's it. Well, actually, there's more to it than that. That's the trick. Now, we've provided two historical essays on this, and we actually done a couple of podcasts on one is called Men That Gave Jack Dempsey Pause in an Education. The other was called Dempsey's Falling Step, Battle Axes in the Enemy Line. And it might sound like it's off target, but it is not, because we go a great deal into what the occupational milieu was at the time, talking about where life of an activity and training so-called be so intertwined, it's tough to start disentangling what's happening there. So let's stay with me on this. The key being that final bit of the old school formula was which go live life. This was at a time when life required more movement, be that foot travel, carrying milk from the barn, hell, garden work, dancing at this Saturday night's hoedown, and the myriad attendant movements required of a job of old. Now, be that lumberjacking or a housewife, more movement was required of any standard task then, be that movement high or low grade, movement was required. Often today, the only real movement outside of our training is from car to house, from car to store, from couch to phone. There's not much else required of us. So instead, what we wind up doing is just thinking that we're going to go to the gym and make this brief 45 minutes, an hour or an hour and a half, like 3-4 days a week, maybe 5 or 6 if you're dedicated, these 6 hours stack up and stand in place of what was done every day, all the time. So That's where we run into the problem. That actually is what's actually kiboshing, putting a damper, a governor on what we're trying to accomplish here. So back to that unleaded conditioning tip number 15. When you want to lose fat, you got to move more, but you don't train more. See, the paradox will resolve itself when we realize that short, intense training sessions raise our cortisol profile. That's our stress hormone, so that we can respond to the effort. So that's why we do train hard. We show up, and I'm not telling you don't train hard, but when we're doing it, this is what happens. We raise that cortisol in us, so our stress hormone responds to the so-called threat, the perceived effort, the exercise stimuli we put on it, be that combat conditioning, weight training, what have you. Once we are out of the effort requirement, we want to keep our cortisol as low as possible. All right. So once we're done with the gym thing, or once we're done with a threat, once we face down the saber-toothed tiger, we want this cortisol to saturate out of the system. Why? Because cortisol is catabolic. That is, it is muscle eating. The very thing that initially allows us to grow at that particular time of the stressor, after that, it just eats up our gains. And by the way, your heart is a muscle. That's another reason about constant stressing yourself over time, be that via hard training all the time, or simply thought stressors all the time, where you just petty annoyances that you allow yourself to be annoyed at all the time. You're keeping these stress hormones going and eating up good muscle tissue and the heart being, hell, you could be taking years off your life there. Now, the old school prescription says go back to living your life once your training was done, which was one of assumed movement where activity continued, but not at a training level that required elevated cortisol. So you worked hard in the actual gym prescription, and after that, you went back to what you're doing, and the movement itself took care of the rest of it, this low-grade motion, what now we try and classify and call perhaps zone two cardio, but it's not really zone two. This was just living your life, where if you have to keep training and training, well, I'll go to the gym, and now I got to put 25,000 minutes on a Peloton or whatever, you're just not getting your life done. You're putting all your time into that. Keeping cortisol elevated eats into the strength, the muscular aesthetic gains you're working for, and it counteracts the fat burning process. When you cut calories as well, your body has a lower capacity to recover from this hard training, which again keeps us in a catabolic state. So we think on one hand, we'll train harder and we'll have this caloric reduction. We're just putting the body into all these stressors. Now, when you keep this cortisol elevated, is when adding more training sessions or lengthening sessions, or your fat loss will halt or slows greatly. It's actually the counterproductive to keep stacking on the training. And we're assuming your training is already adequate and good. Old school thought states, burn white hot for that short duration of your training, and then allow low grade activity slash effort to do the rest of the fat loss training for you. It's now what we would call NEAT, that which is non-exercise thermogenesis. In the old days, it was just living your life. We have to come up with all the acronyms and names as we can gussy up what was always known and make it sound like it's all brand new, and it's not a damn thing new under the sun, my friends. Old school thought would burn intensely, as we do in our unleaded training sessions. These take 20-30 minutes maximum, and then after that you go right back into your combat training and you leave it to your chores, or I use the warrior walking, and you keep the furnace stoked. As a matter of fact, once one adopts this old school wisdom, one can revel in the ease of leaning up and the fat loss and get your chores done. As a matter of fact, you see, the chores is yet another opportunity to prime the pump. If your training leaves you so damn beaten that you can't get out there and do anything afterwards, well, then you're in a in a catabolic state, high cortisol secretion, and you're eating up your gains, and also you're no fun. You don't have time to go out and play with the kids, or do something with the wife on the weekend, or do all that yard work. What we're talking about with unleaded sessions or old school thought on it is you do your work, and after that you work in your gym time. Then after that, you're able to go out there and let's still chop wood, split wood for the fireplace. Let's turn these garden beds so we can have some fresh snap peas for the time. Let's go canoeing and kayaking, and all these things are contributing to your fat loss and your leaning up and having your enjoyment in life. Now, I, for one, have been living this old school way for going on 9 years now, and I wish the hell I'd started way, way earlier. I feel like I'm in the best shape of my life beyond the fact of my 58-year-old frame, all the different bumps and dings and everything I've done to it. I have, in essence, never worked less hard to get good, solid results as both aesthetic and performative. Now, if you want for more information on this old school way to get results historically accurate and backed up by the science, we'll take a look at our unleaded conditioning program over at our store, extremeselfprotection.com, or listen to the podcast, listen to this, look at our blog. We got tons of programs available in the Unleaded program. We got the Pliant Physique about, you know, true mobility from the old days. These are all built on these old school principles. We got core stability, hip stability, grip, finger, forearm strength, chest battery, back work, shoulders, jolt battery, which is tendon and ligament strength, the warrior abs, warrior walking, which is really the only cardio you ever really need. We've got upcoming volumes on the shotgun muscle trifecta, shock muscle, the Tarzan 12, which are a little bit of feats to show off what you've built. And then we're actually your thigh, anterior, and posterior, biceps, triceps, the whole nine here. And then again, take a look at our programs if you're interested in that sort of thing. If not, still, I hope you got something out of this material today to say that this is all assuming you are training hard enough. Now, if you're not doing anything, you're not being consistent, because the way to get results over time, if we're actually running as drug-free, is you put the time in and you do it consistently and you just go. All the time. You don't have to be restarting. Oh, I trained really hard for 21 days. I took a week off. This time I'm really going to mean it. You're just working against yourself, but you're just staying, you know, hot and heavy and chipping at it, you know, all the time. It's going to happen. And the other thing is, you don't have to keep stacking more on. That's the key. It's just keep at it with those inputs, and the rest of that, live your life, do things. Just don't sit around, play the video games, get out there, do something. Anyway, crew, I hope you enjoyed what's going on here. If you like what we do here, please head over to the store, extremeselfprotection.com. Take a look at our blog, Indigenous Ability. Or like, subscribe, share, review the podcast. I am told by those in the know, it helps the, I don't even begin to understand how this sort of thing helps. I'm so old school, I don't understand anything I'm doing now. I barely understand this microphone I'm using. Anyway, take care of yourself, crew. I'll talk to you later. Well, if you dig what we just discussed today, I'd like to invite you to like and subscribe to the podcast. Hell, support it if you want. I'm not your dad. Do what you want. And if you're a glutton for punishment, just visit our website, extremeselfprotection.com. You'll find links to the blog, all of our products, and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of more pages of like musings.